5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Workin' Sports Podcast. I got called out this week. It's okay, it really is. I love the feedback and honest opinion of one of our longtime listeners. It went something like this. He wrote into me on LinkedIn. I'm not going to mention by name because I don't want to embarrass him or whatever, but he wrote to me on LinkedIn and said, I've been listening to your podcast from the start. But since I have a job in sports now, it seems like a lot of your advice is geared towards people trying to get into the industry rather than growing once they get in. How do I still get value out of your show? Ow. So immediately my thought was like kind of defensive. Like I wanted to go through every reason you should still listen to the show and all the value and everything in there. But you have to be able to take a step back sometimes and say, all right, maybe there's something I can glean from this. Maybe there's audience feedback in here that will really work and help. Now, again, I didn't want to sound defensive, but I did make the point is that the advice on this show is more global and career spanning than you might think. You know, when I talk about how to make a great impression, that's not just for your first job. That's when you're on your job too. Or how to perform on an internship. Well, yeah, you're not doing an internship anymore, but you still know how to perform in the right way and apply these things to your job today so that you'll be looked upon for promotions and other activities and involvement and new responsibilities. The tips and ideas of how you should act and show spirit, I mean, they're still all very applicable that we talk about. And most importantly, the expert interviews. I mean, my goodness, they're right up everybody's alley. These are the pros sharing their journey and the nuggets they've learned along the way that got them to the point they're at now. So I think there's a lot of advice out there for people in different phases of their career, but maybe he's right. Maybe I should focus a little more on once you get in the industry, how do you go up? So let's talk about that subject. I think it's a fun conversation and something actually I really like to talk about. So I'm glad that this person confronted me in a way, in a very respectful way. So how do you go from entry-level employee to mid-level management? What skills do you need? Now, even if you're in college right now, someday you're going to need to make this jump. Someday you're going to go from entry-level to the next step. And even if you're a new employee and you've only been on the job for a year, well, you know what? You're going to need to make this step pretty soon now. So now is the time to start planning and thinking about these things. The general rule of thumb is that you're probably up for consideration for promotion within 2 to 3 years. So you got to do the job right first. But while you're on your entry-level job, these are the skills you need to be developing. Okay, get out your pen and paper because there's a lot of stuff here. The first one I want to highlight is you have to show you have supervision skills. Now, when I'm promoting someone to a mid-level manager, I have to identify in them the maturity to work with and lead other staff. Are they mature enough to handle controversy, questions, attacks on them, and other things that come up as a manager? Can they supervise others and hold them accountable in a respectful manner? That is a huge jump going from individual contributor to then managing people and processes. Are you mature enough to handle it? Big question. Number two, communication and intellect. A manager is seen as a resource for employees to get answers. Does this person spread and share the proper information? And are they in line with my company vision? Do I look at them and say they are smart enough to train and teach others how to do the job? Again, in a respectful manner, but also are they able to communicate effectively? And do they share the vision of the organization? Because the messaging matters. If you're spreading words like, oh yeah, I'll show you how to do it, but it's such a terrible process, that is bad. That's not what you want to see. I want to see somebody that can train and can explain and can show a company vision. Number three, can they control the room? Okay, I look at a mid-level manager as someone who has to represent me when I'm not available or on. Can this person control the room? Can they lead a meeting? Can they get everyone moving in the right direction and stand tall on their own? Are they the type of person that can just manage the communication flow to go from employee up the chain to me? Or can they make decisions? Can they be in that moment? Can they lead a meeting? Can they lead a plan? That's important. Number four, budget management. If you are a mid-level manager, that means you have control over a small team, and that takes budget management. You have to understand financials, operating costs, and more. Plus, you need to value costs as a metric in your decision making. Can this person do that? So think about this for a second. You might be tasked with some challenge, and there's a solution out there, and you'd think, great, let's just do that. But if you don't incorporate the cost of that solution along in your decision-making process, well, then you can be falling way out of whack with company financials. So you have to be able to look at both sides, the tool and evaluation of the tool, and as it how it relates to your budget. These are important things. Staffing, overtime, all the things that affect budget management, you have to be smart enough to handle. Number five, is this person organized? Can this person manage multiple workflows, needs, and demands of multiple employees and keep a proper paper trail of everything from communications to financials? Now, organization is something that I've struggled with all of my career and in my personal life as well. So I'm always looking for people that are really well organized because that's important. You know, you have to be able to manage a lot of different moving parts and understand the needs of the people, and being able to keep a proper paper trail is really important when you're in charge of things like hiring and firing. You have to be able to show cause. A lot of times you have to be able to show you went through the right steps on hiring somebody. So keeping all your paperwork and everything else organized is really important for a mid-level manager. Number six, collaborative. Collaborative. Can this person work well with others in different departments? So, for example, can a salesperson integrate well with the marketing team or the PR team or the community relations staff? If not, they're not a manager. You have to be able to work in groups. You have to be able to work across functional groups, so to a different department. You have to be able to work well with others. It's that simple. Number seven. Can this person think long term? That to me is one of the biggest jumps for managers. Outside of managing people and being responsible for other people, it's in this thinking long term and strategically. I've said this before on the show, but when you go from an individual contributor, meaning you have a singular job with a singular focus that you accomplish by the end of the day, and then you go home and you start over again and you have another set of goals for that day, you're thinking day to day in an entry level job. Well, when you get to a mid-level manager, you have to be thinking for more in the long term. You're thinking 3, 6, 8 months in advance. You have to do more than just execute on today's goals. You have to set the goals for the future and hold people accountable. Can this person do that? Number eight, is this a people person? I know that sounds funny. People person, you know, you hear it all the time, like, you know, you just have to be friendly. That's not what I mean. You do need to be relatable. And you have to be a good listener. I don't promote people who aren't relatable and aren't good listeners. Managers listen. Managers help. Managers see what needs doing and do it. I remember coming into work one day. I'm not kidding. This was when I was at Fox Sports. And I remember coming into work one day and my general manager, the leader of the entire building, was up on a ladder changing out the light bulb in a fluorescent light because it needed doing. You know, and sometimes that's what managers have to do. They have to look for those moments to take care of what needs taken care of and just do it. And, you know, when somebody's up there on that ladder who's in total control of the entire organization, anybody else that sees that says to themselves, I can go the extra little mile too. I can go that extra little distance to do what needs doing. If that guy can get up on a ladder and fix a light bulb, then I can be out there doing a little bit more myself too. If you're not a people person, you can't see those moments. If you're not relatable and you're not a good listener, well, then you're also not a manager. So go back into your spreadsheet and we'll see you later when you develop those skills. And final point on this part of the conversation is you have to be able to see the broader business. As a new employee, again, you see your silo. You become the master of your segment. But at some point, to be promotable, you have to see the business as a bigger entity. When I was a sports producer, I was only worried about my show that night and all the components of it. When I was a news director, I had to see affiliate deals, public relations initiatives, corporate sponsorship deals, team and partner relationships, budgets, staffing, and so much more. You have to begin to see the whole picture of the organization. How does revenue get generated? How does it get distributed? What are our other costs? All these parts of the entire landscape of your skill set and the entire landscape of the industry and the business need to start to come into play. Now, how do you get these skills? And more importantly, how do you show your bosses that you have them? This is a really important part of the conversation. So the first tip I would give you is that you have to be observant and ask questions. See what is happening around you and ask questions of your boss. Now, again, only when the time is right. I know that as a boss, I was very open to people coming and talking to me, but sometimes when they picked the wrong moment, it made it really frustrating. You know, like I'm crashing to get some news done or write a story or do whatever I needed to get done, or I'm working on a budget or what have you, and somebody comes in and asking, what is a good question, but just wasn't the right timing. So pick a moment at the end of the day or in a slow period and say, hey, I noticed when you were evaluating that player, you gave them an X after watching some of their film. Can you tell me what you saw? Or something like, hey, I noticed when you were making the schedule, you put more people than normal on during the day next week. Is that a function of some seasonal data you have? Or like, I noticed you put the Astros game near the top of the show. Why did you value that game over the Yankees game? Being curious is a huge asset. If you always have your blinders on for your role and nothing else, you won't grow. You need to see the long-term planning. You need to see the decision matrix, what somebody else is going through as they process their decisions, and you need to ask about it. When someone asks good questions in an inquiring rather than accusatory way, it really works. I will tell you, I've been in situations where the tone is wrong. I've had somebody come up and ask me questions about my decisions, and they do it almost like an accusatory tone, like, why did you do that? And that does not work because you're immediately putting somebody on the defensive who's above you on the food chain. And their impression of you after that point is they're a know-it-all and they're not listening. So I was in that situation many times where I would then have to almost defend myself and my decisions rather than explain. And that's a big difference. So make sure your tone and your delivery is exactly as you want it to be. Think of the message you are giving off. You aren't questioning their decision. You're trying to learn. And maybe even state that. Say, hey, I'm trying to just see how this whole thing lines up. Why did you come to this decision? How did you get to this point? You know, whatever it may be. Point number two on getting these skills, take a class. There's so many online management or finance classes that you can help, that can really help you get a background in the skills you'll need to take your career to the next level. If you don't have a background in these, some of these things from college, for example, I did not have any kind of background in finance or budget management. Take an online class to learn a little bit more about, you know, profit and loss and all those different kind of calculations and how to get things on track for budgeting and forecasting or managing people or, you know, strategy. Number three, find a mentor. We've talked about this a lot on the show, but I want to be really clear. I just talked a little while ago about asking questions to your boss, which is great. But you need to have a mentor, sometimes outside your organization, who can bring new ideas on management to the table. You don't want to just be a parrot of your boss. You want to form your own perspective. You want to be your own person. I used to ask family members all the time who were more established in management for advice often. I also had a mentor who was completely out of my industry, but was a charismatic leader, and they helped me a lot when I had questions about dealing with problem people. So find people out there. They could be your same age. They could be somebody you went to college with, but maybe they've progressed a little faster in their career. Maybe they're a completely different industry. Maybe they know your parents. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Find somebody with an experience higher than yours and ask questions and be curious with them. Number four. Read. There are hundreds of business and leadership books out there, and they can all really enlighten you with their case studies and research. I personally like case studies because they're based in fact. It's not just some guy's opinion, somebody that's writing with a flowery delivery that sounds very convincing. It's not a bunch of puffery or fluff. A lot of the case study kind of books really assist me in seeing how somebody made decision X and it resulted in result Y, and seeing how one thing affected the other and how a business actually operated after a decision. A lot of those times, those can be extremely helpful. I will say one common theme of all of our executives that I interview on this show, they all tend to read a lot of these business style books, from Malcolm Gladwell to Jim Collins to Jennifer Geary, on and on. There's tons of these types of books out there. Find the right one that fits for your industry. And then the last idea to get your skills out there for becoming a mid-level manager, but also teaching your boss that you're ready, is go to your boss and talk to them and ask about a training budget. Is there any budget for you to go to a conference or to take a course? Again, you're letting them know that you're interested in improving and that you think these are great avenues to do that. And even if they say, no, we don't have any budget for that, you've sent up a signal to them that you're looking to grow and improve and get better. You know, get your pitch together. See, be very specific. Like, hey, I saw this conference. It deals with sales and marketing in the sports industry. I think it would be a great asset. Or there was a scouting conference I wanted to go to, or this operational conference I wanted to go to. Whatever your side of the industry is, whatever you want to pursue, go to your boss with a plan and say, hey, I'd really like to consider attending this. What do you think? What's your feedback? Do we have any kind of a training budget? And, you know, if we don't, could I maybe get the time off in order to go? Or talk about a course you wanted to take that you think would help you go to the next level. Again, even if they say, no, you can't have the time off, or no, we don't have any kind of a training budget, you're sending them a message. You're making it really clear you are not content just being your individual contributor. You want to grow. And I think that's really, really important to send those signals, send those flares out there and let it be known. I think that should handle this discussion. I'm glad we're talking about that next step in your career. I think it's important. Coming up on Wednesday, we have a little something different. Last week, I spoke at the University of Florida, a crazy, huge QA session where the class peppered me with questions. I didn't have any of the questions in advance, so I had to be quick on my feet. It was really fun. It was informative, and we covered a lot of great subjects. So I'm going to turn it into a show that we're going to air on Wednesday. So listen up for that on Wednesday. And if you've missed either my interview with Lee Steinberg or Emily Jansen, those are our two most recent ones. What the heck is wrong with you? Like, what are you waiting for? They're great interviews, lots to be learned, and I think you'll really enjoy them. So do that. I will talk to you all on Wednesday. See ya.